A suggestion the trade war is endless is spooking markets this morning. I'm David Brancaccio. Stock index futures had been in positive territory earlier today, then a slump just after President Trump in London for the NATO meeting said he'd be okay if there was no U.S.-China trade agreement until after the 2020 election. Is this a negotiating tactic? We've got all the time in the world. Or is this a sign that negotiations have somehow stalled? Among the market players who heard Trump say the trade war could go on and on is Jeffrey Cleveland, the chief economist at Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles.
He's breaking investors' hearts, David, this morning, delaying this the trade deal. I think the question investors face, in my mind, is, you know, can the global economy begin to recover as we head into 2020 if we don't get some sort of deal done on the trade front? And I think most investors answer the question by saying no, the global economy will not recover. We'll have further uncertainty.
But you, Jeffrey, you've been seeing some signs that it's not getting worse, the global economy, based on the trade war?
Well, everyone's looking at Trump. Meanwhile, the global manufacturing data continues to improve. It looks like global manufacturing activity bottomed out in the summer and has improved for the last 4 months. So the global manufacturing PMI is now back above 50. It's at 50.3. And of course, that 50 threshold delineates between expansion in the manufacturing sector globally and contraction.
I mean, not to be a Debbie Downer here, but you're talking about the global purchasing managers index. The U.S. one is still in contraction territory, we learned this week.
You're right. The global backdrop is improving. The U.S. manufacturing sector, at least on the ISM survey, weakened further during the month. And if the global economy begins to recover, which I think we're seeing evidence of that, the U.S. manufacturing sector should follow in the year ahead.
Jeffrey Cleveland is chief economist at Payden & Riegel. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Top brass for the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines are scheduled to testify this morning in the Senate. Investigations have found widespread problems with apartments and houses on military installations, which are managed by private contractors. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
In a survey earlier this year, more than half of families living in privatized military housing had a negative or very negative experience.
From mold to vermin to lead to really incredible wait times to get issues resolved.
Shannon Razadin is executive director of the nonprofit Military Family Advisory Network, which conducted the survey. Since a Reuters investigation last year revealed shocking housing conditions throughout the country, military officials have stepped up health and safety checks and set up hotlines to handle complaints. Leo Shane is deputy editor at Military Times.
And that's the point of this hearing, is just how far have we come and why are there still some places where housing still has some problems?
Last month, several families stationed at Fort Meade in Maryland sued Corvius Management over problems with toxic mold and pests. The House will get its chance to investigate when an Armed Services subcommittee grills Corvius and other private contractors at a hearing Thursday. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
A California report on the terrible wildfire last year was called the Camp Fire, finds the power company PG&E failed to properly inspect and maintain its transmission lines, including the faulty one that started the fire that killed 85 people. PG&E got bankruptcy protection at the beginning of this year. Okay, here's a solid investment. Support Marketplace today, and your donation goes three times as far. Right now, your donation makes triple the impact, triple, thanks to a special two-for-one match by the Candida Fund. That is three times the support for the public service journalism that you trust to keep you informed every day. The match only goes through this Sunday, so don't miss out. Give today at marketplace.org, and thank you. America's central bankers are sounding the alarm over how hard it is to find a bank out in the country. A report from the Federal Reserve finds over 40% of rural counties lost bank branches in recent years. This has economic consequences. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
Both urban and rural areas are losing bank branches. It's about a 7% drop, but rural areas tend to feel it more keenly. Here's why.
There are a lot of small community banks that their model is no longer viable with this heightened merger wave that has been ongoing for the past, 30 to 40 years.
Marisa Baradaran is a law professor at the University of California, Irvine, who studies banking. Today, according to the Fed, there are more than 18 bank branches per 100 square miles in urban areas. For rural areas, fewer than two. That means, says Baradaran,
there's wide swaths of the country where the closest ATM is at like a 7-Eleven or a gas station. And, how do you cash your paycheck? You have to go to a check casher.
And those services tend to come with higher fees, making it more expensive for people to use their own money in rural areas. But not all rural areas are equally affected. Jesse Van Tol is CEO of the National Community Reinvestment Coalition.
If you look at where branch closures are occurring in rural communities, disproportionately, it is rural communities that have higher proportions of African Americans.
And in communities with more low-income and less educated people. Van Tol says digital tools like mobile banking can close some of the gap, but
we know from other research that when bank branches close, things like small business lending decline. It can have an incredibly negative impact on rural communities.
That's what they're seeing at the North Carolina Rural Center, which promotes economic development in the state's rural counties. The center's Jason Gray says branch closures also make the day-to-day operations of small businesses harder.
If you have a small business and you have cash on hand, to have to shut down your business for a while to go make a long drive to make a bank deposit.
As opposed to dropping it off at a local bank branch down the street. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Our producers are Rose Conlon, Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Candice Manriquez-Wren, and Daniel Shin. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.